Good evening, everyone. My name is Mark, this isn't the typical person who tries to call these meetings to order. My name is Mark Bryan, President of City Council, and the mayor is under the weather this evening, so therefore, as President of Council, my understanding from the law director is I'm acting mayor, so, but I also understand from the law director that I do get the opportunity to still vote on legislation, is that not correct? So with that, I would like to call the Sylvania City Council meeting for February 7th, 2022 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanson?
Here.
Mr. Hanam?
Here.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Ms. Stow?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are in attendance, so a quorum does exist. And with that, I guess I'm the person who is supposed to lead the pledge this evening, so.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Mayor.
So to all of you in the audience, if you see Mrs. Bryan lean over and smack me, that's because I'm not doing something according to the appropriate protocol. So give me a little bit of latitude since this is my first time through. But with that, I would like to add a couple of items to the agenda this evening. I'd like to add item 3A, which is the determination of the president pro tem for this evening's meeting that needs to be considered since I'm as acting mayor. Also wanted to add the potential appointment of a SAGEARD rep from our employee and community relations meeting, and I'll call that item 14B. And with that, are there any other items for members of council that need to increment to be also added to the agenda?
Mr. Acting Mayor, I would like to add a community board position appointments.
Great, we'll call that 14C. Anything else that needs to come and be put on the agenda for members of council? Hearing none, members of administrative staff, Mr. Stink and Mr. Sanford, anything you'd like to add?
Nothing, Mr. Frye.
Mr. Schroyer?
Nothing, Mr. Frye.
Chief Schnorr?
Nothing, Mr. Frye.
Mr. Allen?
Nothing, Mr. Frye.
Mrs. Briney?
Nothing, Mr. Frye.
Thank you very much. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda for the February 7th meeting as modified?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Now, with the next item on the agenda, item number 3A, a determination of the president pro tem for this evening's meeting.
Mr. Frye?
Mr. Hanam?
I'd like to move Mary Westfall be appointed
second
president pro tem.
I have a motion and a second for Mrs. Westfall to be president pro tem this evening. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much and congratulations, Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you.
And now that you're president pro tem, the meeting minutes, Mrs. Westfall, if you would introduce those, please.
Thank you, Mr. Frye. I move approval of the minutes for the City of Sylvania City Council meeting held January 18th, 2022 as presented.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 The meeting minutes for council meeting of January 18th, 2022 are approved as submitted. Thank you very much. Also, next on the agenda is item number 5, the report of the public hearing for SUP permit 4-2021. And since I guess this is the person who ran that meeting, I'll give the report briefly. We held a public hearing that started at 7 p.m. A number of members from the the community were here this evening. The petition was from Mr. Michael Howard and Emma 44 Development for potential utilization of a medical marijuana dispensary at 5625 West Alexis Road. And that, as you all, since you were all here, basically was under consideration. He gave a brief update in that our community is not likely to see a medical marijuana dispensary in this round. There was one permit available for Lucas County, and the location that he has under consideration here was number 34 in that process for one of the applications. So it's unlikely, but he did also indicate an interest in proceeding forward with an SUP regardless. And there were a number of members of our community who stood in opposition to that SUP, there was nobody that indicated an interest in continuing and wanting that other than Mr. Howard. Mr. Hayner made some comments as well in positive light to that, and also read a number of the debilitating diseases and challenging diseases that are eligible for utilization of medical marijuana. With that, the committee of the whole for the public hearing decided to consider the positive and negative comments and consider that as we go forward and whether or not we wanted to move the special use permit forward at this particular time. So nothing came before the committee. And with that, I would ask if there's any questions or concerns about the SUP 4-2021. Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 6, the sanitary sewer line project phase 2. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Fry. As I have several items on the agenda this evening, I thought it would be better to just come here and have the mic available to me.
Thank you.
First item is approval to move forward with the no WDA loan application. This is the second phase of the project, and we did a loan with no WDA for the first phase. We did have received bids for phase two, and the low bid was submitted by Granite Inliner from Hillard, Ohio. We'll be coming to you shortly with an award of the project. The loan process just needs to take place prior to that award. So, the low bid is in the amount of $1,097,358.30. We have a Ohio Public Works Commission grant that will cover about 44.6% of the project, which is $489,421.80. And so the remaining cost of $607,936.50 is the city's responsibility. And we are recommending that we finance that through a OWDA loan. The current interest rate is 1.86%. This loan will not be closed until the February meeting. That rate could adjust slightly, but that's where the current rate is at. We will also receive a discount because we did take a loan with the first phase of the project. You also get a discount once you take future loans with OWDA, so it will be slightly less than the 1.86 just with the discount. So we are requesting approval to apply for a loan from OWDA in the amount of $717,672. That's the cost, the $607,000 cost plus a 10% contingency, onto the construction contract. And that's how we got to $717,672. So we do ask for approval to apply for that loan.
Any questions for Mr. Aller?
Yes, Mr. Aller. Where are we at with rehabilitation of the sewer pipes within the city proper? Do we have other phases and projects?
Yeah, the first phase is the one that we just completed. This is phase two. And we have a third phase that we'll be bringing to you next year at about the same time. We're doing it in three phases. This project, the first phase basically took care of everything along McCord Road and most of Sylvania Avenue. This project will complete the section along Sylvania Avenue, extend north along Eaglehurst, And then the sewer actually runs in behind the homes, right along the west side of US 23. And that, this project will take care of that. Phase three will take care of the additional sections that were ranked as very critical, level five repairs being needed. Phase three will take care of those. Those sections kind of bounce around the city a little bit. It's not a continuous run of pipe, but that kind of runs along the city. And we do have a stretch of Main Street that will likely be part of that phase three as well. That should, that will get all of the critical damaged pipes taken care of. All of the level fives will be taken care of. Phase three will actually address some of the level four pipes that were, I'll say four and a half. They were right on that borderline. And then we should be in pretty good shape for 7 years. But this is the middle phase, if you will. We'll be having another phase that will come to you. I'll actually be bringing that to you in the fall because we'll be applying for OPWC funds for that project.
And a follow-up to that is how this would affect sewer rates at all?
It takes assuming that this project will actually absorb about the 35-cent increase that we just did in January. 10 cents of that was designated towards the debt payments of this loan. So it's roughly about a dime per 1,000 gallons that these loans add to the rates.
Okay.
Ms. Allen?
Mr. Aller, I noticed that this was for pipes that were 15-inch diameter and larger. Is there a time we'll be looking at different size pipes, like smaller, or is that not within what we would need to look at?
Yeah, we routinely, with city equipment, we have a camera truck, and we routinely, as part of our annual maintenance, run that camera through 8-inch through 12-inch pipe. And so we know we've done some 8-inch, 8 through 12-inch actually lining. 22, I think it was 2000, I'll say 16. We did a project of about $500,000 that was all 8-inch through 12-inch pipe. There were sections that we had collected and did as one large project. But as part of our routine maintenance, we're in those sections of pipe. We hit roughly 10 to 15% of our system each year with that program. So that size of pipe we knew. Our equipment wasn't capable of doing a 15-inch and larger, and so we had a contractor come in back in about 2017 and take a look at those pipes, and these projects aren't resolved.
Okay, so if there were any issues, we would be aware of them with
yes.
The eight. Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Mr. Allen? Okay, you have ordinance number 10-2022. Mr. McCann.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Acting Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only ordinance number 10-2022, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to apply for, accept, and enter into an agreement as required for the Ohio Water Development Authority loan for a trunk sanitary sewer lining phase two project. I move passage of ordinance number 10-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for passage of ordinance number 10-2022 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. I think you're still up there, Mr. Aller. So we're going to move on to item number 7 on our agenda, the Haroon Park invasive species.
Thank you, Mr. Fry. Yes, in 2019, City Council had authorized a two-year agreement with the Nature Conservancy to reduce the invasive species in Haroon Park. That effort has paid great dividends, I believe. If you take a look at the condition of the park today compared to what it was prior to 2019, that you can actually see through the park. It's in much better condition than it was. As you can imagine, or may be aware, invasive species do not just say, oh, you cut me off, I'm going to go away. They keep coming back. The park has a pretty hefty balance of seedlings of those invasive species throughout the park. And so it does keep coming back. And we would recommend that we continue those efforts to continue to improve that park. And eventually we'll win out, but it just takes time. The Nature Conservancy has proposed an additional 2-year agreement. The first part of that agreement would be in 2022 at a cost of $29,528. And then the second year in 2023 would be $30,472 for a 2-year commitment of $60,000. This project was included in our 2022 capital improvement fund, and we would recommend approval to move forward.
Any questions for Mr. Allen? Ms. Stout?
Not so much a question, but I wanted to add that prior to my time being on City Council, I was a member of the Tree Commission for a few years, and that's a volunteer organization that works really hard to help maintain some of the public land in Sylvania, and they do spend some time working on invasives, but I know a common topic among the group was how do we take care of these bigger issues, and I know that they were thrilled when the city supported some invasive removals in Turin Park, and this is beyond their capacity as a volunteer organization, but I know that they have noted the impact that these changes have made in the park, and I support this as well. Thank you.
Yeah, it was just, as Ms. Stout indicated, it was just too much for the Tree Commission. City staff tried to get in there, but with all of our other duties, it's something that you really have to commit the time and effort to. And it's just above our capabilities on an ongoing basis.
Mr. Allen, just a point of clarification. First, I do support this as well. It looks great. I think it's really made a big improvement. And you may have said this and I may have missed it. Is this already in the budget?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Included in our capital improvement.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Other questions for Mr. Allen?
Mr. Allen, I have a question as well. The 2-year agreement, I know you said Nature Conservancy proposed that. You know, is there a chance it comes back up again 2 years from now, or was there any discussion of a longer-term agreement?
Yeah, there could be potential that we have to do this for another 2 years or another 4 years. It's really getting those invasives and getting those seedlings taken care of and addressed as they come up. We still have some of the larger materials invasives to take care of in there. We didn't get them all in those 2 years, but this year we should be able to address all of that, and then we'll be to the stage of where we're just addressing smaller sprouts, if you will, and it should become hopefully a little easier to address.
Okay. So. Other questions for Mr. Allen? We do have ordinance number 11-2022 for consideration. Mr. Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Fry. I would like to introduce by title only ordinance number 11-2022. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to accept the proposal of the Nature Conservancy to provide invasive species treatments in Hoon Park, appropriating funds therefore in an amount not to exceed $60,000 and declaring an emergency.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 11-2022 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried. Thank you very much. Move on to agenda item number 8, Maplewood Avenue Reconstruction Project. Mr. Aller, you're still up.
Thank you, Mr. Fry. Yes, this project is out for bid right at the moment. I believe we're receiving bids on March 2nd. Getting out of the project, we asked for proposals from about 3 or 4 different engineering firms that provide construction engineering and inspection services. We started with American Structure Point. We looked at their proposal and wanted to move forward and negotiate a fee with them, and we are to that point. American Structure Point is a pretty large firm. We have not done any work with them in the past, but we are familiar with Their primary contact with us was Darren Schindler. He has over 30 years of experience with ODOT, primarily in District 1, which is down in the Lima, Ohio office. Did a very good job as an ODOT employee. Now that he's moved on into the private world, we think that we should take advantage of his expertise and utilize him on this project as the manager. The proposal that they provided was in the amount of $79,194. That also includes testing services from TTL Associates for concrete cylinders, compaction testing, things of that nature that need to be done. Some larger ODOT projects that are coming up. And with those projects, we are required to use ODOT certified inspectors. We wanted to utilize American Structure Point to see if that's the firm that we decide to move forward with on those projects, on this Maplewood project. We believe that everything's going to go smooth, but as with any relationship, you want to start out small and then grow that relationship. So we do ask for approval to move forward with the agreement. This cost also was included in our federal fund in the 401 account, so we ask for approval.
Questions for Mr. Allen? Ms. Stout?
I'm apparently having a talkative night tonight. I agree that we need to have a professional looking at this. I'm just with $80,000 is a lot of money, right? Especially if we were to look at the cost of having someone be full-time. And I'm curious with the upcoming other projects that would also require having someone else looking at these, would it be worth considering whether we were to have, or is it even a possibility to consider whether we should have someone on staff that is who is paid to specifically do these things for the city full-time for this duration, as opposed to doing it piecemeal and possibly paying more for each specialist each time?
In the near future, we will have those projects. We will have those ODOT projects that require that commitment, that certification, and that experience. But once those projects are done, I look for that need to wane. We have in the 11 years that I've been here with the city. The first project that will require that ODOT inspection was the Main Street, South Main Street project. Mm-hmm. Then we'll have another one in 2023. So we'll have a project in each of 23, 24, 25. And then after that, we probably won't have that need. So that's a short-term need. Mm-hmm. And short-term. And so I don't think over a long-term basis, it pays for us to have an inspector of our own, of that caliber especially. Because with that expertise, you do the wages is higher. I don't think that it benefits us to have somebody actually on staff. I think we're better served handling it through consultants.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions for Mr. Allen? We have ordinance number 12-2022 for your consideration. Mr. Richardson.
Yes, thank you, Acting Mayor Fry. I would like to introduce ordinance number 12-2022 by title only, accepting the proposal of American Structure Point, Inc. to provide construction, engineering, and inspection services for the Maplewood Avenue reconstruction project, appropriating funds therefore in the amount not to exceed $79,194, and I would move passage as an emergency measure.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for approval of ordinance number 12-2022 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried and ordinance number 12-2022 is approved as an emergency measure. Keep going, Mr. Allen. You're still up.
Mr. Fry. The next item.
Keep a chair or something down there.
Next item is the Cushman Road Project, our final change order number 2. As during the construction, there were several driveway culverts that ultimately had to be extended because of some conflicts that we have the frontier communication poles, that not only poles but also underground facilities. that did not show up prior to construction. We had some water service lowerings that had to be done. That was work that the contractor provided excavation assistance so that our crews could actually perform the lowering of the water mains. We had two stop work orders on that project. As you, if you recall the project, we had some citizen concerns with the project, and so there were two times that we had to stop the contractor. And when those occur, the contractor does have demobilization and mobilization costs, and those were negotiated to the point of $19,875. We also had two deductions as part of this final change order. The additional piping that was installed, the quantities ultimately came out less than what were initially anticipated. And then finally, on the original bid project, the installed quantities came out less than what were originally anticipated. We took a look at each of these items and feel that the contractor has been fair with us. We actually took a look at a ODOT specification that they have on how delayed work is handled and things of that nature. And we actually came, the contractor is being fair, very fair with us. If we, if he had imposed those ODOT specifications, we would have paid considerably more than what we are in this final change order. So it has been a good conversation, a good negotiations with the contractor to get to the point that we are. It is does result in a final change order addition of $38,168.39 to the contract. That would bring the total amount of this project to $1,102,843.64. And we do recommend approval of the change.
Mr. Aller, are there, have we asked the residents if there are any other concerns that need to be addressed?
We have not asked them if there are any other concerns that need to be addressed. However, I did speak with Mrs. Duvall on a separate topic, and while we talked on that topic, she actually thanked me for getting to the point that we've gotten to on the project, and that she's very happy with the final result.
If Sharon's happy, I'm happy, but can I add that I want to wait until springtime to find out if the trees come back,
sure,
and make sure that all things are where they should be.
We will always go back in. We'll go back in the springtime when everything comes up. We'll see how the grass came and then things of that nature. If we need to touch things up, we'll do so.
Great. Thank you for the update.
Yep.
Any other questions for Mr. Allen? If not, we have ordinance number 13-2022 for your consideration. Mr. Richards.
Thank you, Mr. Fry. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 13-2022 by title only, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to approve change order number 2 final to this city's agreement with Salem Dean Trucking and Excavating Incorporated for the Cushman Road Improvement Project to reflect the as-built quantities, increasing the contract amount by $38,168.39. Approving funds, therefore, and I would move passage as an emergency measure.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 13-2022 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And motion carries. And ordinance number 13-2022 passes as an emergency measure. Thank you very much. Mr. Eller, Veterans Memorial Field Detention, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Fry. In 2020, the City Council authorized a study of the Eldon Ditch watershed area, and the consultant on that project, Fishbeck, has completed that study and actually has recommended about four different projects in that watershed area. The first of those projects, and I actually mentioned the study, we finally got the final copy of the study, just a week or two ago. And I mentioned to Mr. McCann that actually at some point I'll need to bring that study forward and kind of provide council a summary of what that study said for the entire watershed. But the first phase of that, in that area was a suggested underground detention facility in the area of Veterans Memorial Field. There's a standing, I'll call it a joke, although the residents don't consider it a joke, but a standing joke of, I forget what they call it, but it's something lake in that area. And the property owners in that area have, standing water in their rear yards much of the rainy season. This project will alleviate that. And that's why we're moving forward with this one first, because it addresses the immediate concern, even though there are other concerns that we do have to address. So we actually, because of the timing of when we got that study, the draft study, we moved forward and council approved to move forward with an OPWC application for the project in the Veterans Memorial Field. And we just found out a couple weeks ago that we were successful with that application. So the project is estimated to be about $233,427 and we'll be receiving $91,000 in grant funds through that OPWC grant project. So we also have Sage Yard has agreed to contribute $49,500 towards the project because it will alleviate a large share of their parking lot runoff and of course help with their ball field drainage as well. So we have a couple partners, OPWC and Sage Yard in as partners with this. So Fishbeck has provided a proposal in the amount of $27,840 to complete the engineering for this project. And this project was included in the 2022 budget to be funded out of our stormwater assessment rather than the capital improvement. So we do recommend moving forward with this. The project will actually be constructed in 2023 because of ball season timing, grant paperwork timing and all of that. We actually won't get constructed until 2023, but we wanted to get the design moving and get it behind us. So we ask for approval to move forward.
Mr. Allard, did Fishbeck recommend the 25-year event storage capacity?
That's a typical storage for underground detention facilities, and so that's kind of an engineering standard, if you will.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Allard, I know it's a once in a 25-year event. How many times have we had a once in a 25-year event in the last 25 years?
In the last 5 years, it seems like.
Well, that's why I'm asking. I just want to make sure we're setting the table properly. Because you hear once in a 25-year event, and it's like, well, we had one last year, so I got 24 more years.
Yeah, it's been, the 25-year forecast and the 100-year forecast, and that are, I believe they're outdated, because it's, we seem to get much more regular basis those dumps that were just something new.
But once installed, it still will cover the vast majority of the time.
What we found out when we did the study, not getting into the study too much, but what we found is that the outlet going out of Veterans Memorial Field was can handle 4 cubic feet per second. We're throwing, during the large rain events, we're throwing 25 cubic feet per second at that pipe. So it just can't handle it. And hence the reason that the water stays in Veterans Memorial Field and in people's rear yards. So it's just this underground detention that will take that first flush, it'll hold it, and then when everything slows down, then it'll be able to release it. Send down the pipe.
Yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Stiff and their neighbors will be greatly appreciative of this.
Yes, they will.
So we do have, any other questions for the staff?
I'm sorry if I'm not reading the numbers properly, but it says in the letter that the offer was for $27,840, but then the proposal on the back says $50,616, but then the ordinance says $28,000. I have three different numbers here, and I'm trying to place where they all come from.
I think actually Mrs. Browning, Ms. Stile mentioned to me that we need to modify the ordinance of the $28,970 to $27,840.
Okay.
On the ordinance reading itself, section one and section three as well.
Okay, but then what about, where does the $27,000 number come from the $50,000 number in the back? Am I just missing where that is?
We have the wrong, we provided, I apologize, we provided the wrong proposal letter. If you look at the front of the proposal letter, that's where the Delbert going out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rather than the Elden Ditch. May I ask that we table this? I apologize for those errors.
Mr. Aller, is there a rush on this particular thing given the time frame?
No. You can wait till the next meeting and get proper information in there. I apologize.
I can count on it.
Fair enough. Based on administration's request, could I have a motion to table consideration of warrants number 14-2022?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor of tabling ordinance number 14-2022 for consideration at our next or some future meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried, and ordinance number 14-2022 has been tabled.
Thank you.
And I think you're up for the aerial tower truck purchase, Mr. Aller, still?
Yes.
Sure you don't want to share?
The aerial truck, it's in our parks division. It's the ugly green truck that you can see going through town every now and then. It is a 1994 truck and has seen, most definitely has seen its better days. We continue to have maintenance issues with it. And that, as you can imagine, that's not a truck that, when you have somebody that's 50 feet in the air, that's not a truck that you want to be able to trust that thing is going to operate properly when you have people in those kinds of positions. So we are recommending that we replace it. We did receive quotes from two separate manufacturers, and the Parks Department is interested in moving forward with the Altec model, their over center aerial truck. It will be a 2022 model, but we have already been informed that we won't get it until 2023, it's just sometime in 2023. Mm-hmm. We don't even have a definite delivery date. So this is going to be a long-term purchase. This truck was included in our 2022 capital improvement plan. I think we budgeted about $215,000 for it, and as you can see, the final price came in at $204,186. So, while I mentioned earlier that construction contracts seem to be going over, we did get some good news on this truck and actually saved some money over our initial quote. So, we do ask for permission to move forward purchase this truck. From Altec.
Mr. Aller, will they hold the price?
Even yes.
Though it may not come till next year?
Yes. Yeah. This is it's a state term pricing, and so they have to hold the price.
Okay, but just recognizing the world that we're in right now.
Yep.
Any other questions for Mr. Aller? Hearing none, we do have ordinance number 15-2022 for consideration. Mr. Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Frye. I would like to introduce by title only, ordinance number 15-2022, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to accept the proposal of Altech Industries for the provision of a 2022 Altech model LR8-60 articulating over center aerial truck for the Department of Public Service, appropriating $204,186 therefore, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 15-2022 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried and ordinance number 15-2022 is approved as an emergency measure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Aller, although you'll be up here in another minute probably. But Chief Storr, I believe we're on to item number 12 on our agenda for the consideration of a couple of cadets.
Thank you, Mr. Frye. If you remember, about a year or so ago, we changed the way that we go about our hiring practice due to the declining number of candidates that are interested in jobs in law enforcement. For the first time in probably about 27 years, we offered our civil service test without the requirement that the applicants be state certified to take the test. And this last civil service process for police officer, we did have two applicants who were extraordinary candidates. They were both selected as cadets to attend the academy. Each of those cadets opted to take to attend the academy at Owens Community College. They were required to pay their base tuition individually, and with the understanding that to be promoted to police officer, they would have to complete the academy, successfully pass the state licensure exam, which they did on January 11th, and then they would need to sign a retention agreement to be promoted to police officer. They have been promoted. Their letter was conditional upon signing the retention agreements that are mentioned in the ordinance.
Thank you, Chief. I know we initiated this. I think these are the first two cadets to go through.
They
is that correct?
They are.
What's your initial reaction towards this particular effort?
So far, the outcome has been exactly what we were hoping for. You know, that you never really know if the cadets will make it to the academy, if you know how they will do with all the different technical aspects of the academy, whether it's defensive techs. I think there were originally 22 or so candidates in that academy class, and only 12 or so passed. So, you know, there is a washout factor with that. We were pretty confident that these candidates would do fine, but you just never really know. And not only is there the technical things that they have to overcome, but they also have to take a physical fitness test, PT test, at the end of the academy, and then an academic assessment as far as the state licensure exam. So, you know, it did work out. I think it's something that we will keep as an option in the future, depending on, you know, the number of applicants and the background and qualifications. Both of these applicants had excellent backgrounds. That's the first thing that's important to us as far as qualifications, is the person's character and standing in the community to be a police officer, and then their credentials and that sort of thing. So both of these candidates were top notch. They're currently training on the street. One is on the day shift with the training officer, one on the afternoon shift. So Mr. Heber, I think, might even be working today. I'm not 100% sure on that, but he works the afternoon shift with his training officer. So, so far, so good with the program, and we're happy with the results.
Are these the two officers you brought in?
Yes.
I thought they were, but I wasn't sure.
Right, yeah. Was it summertime? Or,
yeah.
Right, so, yeah, right before they went to the academy.
Great, thank you very much. Yeah. Any other questions for Chief Schnorr? Hearing none, and since I'm sitting in as empty mayor, Mrs. Westfall, I'll ask you to read ordinance number 16-2022 into the record for consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Frye. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 16-2022 by title only, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement with Morgan Dietrich. I move final passage of ordinance number 16-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second. With motion and a second to approve ordinance number 16-2022 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries, ordinance number 16-2022 is approved as an emergency measure. We now have ordinance number 17 for Mr. Heber for consideration. Ordinance number 17-2022, Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Frye. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 17-2022 by title only, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement with Richard Heber. I move final passage of ordinance number 17-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for ordinance number 17-2022 to be approved as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried. Thank you very much. And ordinance number 17-2022 is approved as an emergency measure. We are now up to the demolition at 5301 Main Street. Mr. Aller.
I'm sorry. I'll confer to Ms. Brining, who can answer any demolition questions if needed.
Fair enough.
Thank you, Mr. Frye. This, as I'm sure you are all aware, property was damaged by a fire a couple of years ago. It was purchased by the neighbor. There was some insurance issue, and it's just kind of been sitting as a nuisance for quite some time. We were able to work out an agreement with the property owner to demolish the structure and then place the amount of the cost of the demolition on his property tax bill. So he and his wife are coming tomorrow at 5 o'clock to sign it, and then we will move forward with the demolition.
Who have we addressed the other items on the property itself? Because not just the unit is in derelict or disrepair,
right.
There is
yes
other
yes, we
additional
are aware of those in our we are yes we are diligently working to get compliance on all of the zoning issues on the property and the next door property.
So will we be on the hook for that? The cost on that, on the removal of anything that's on the property?
No, we are just we've just agreed, frankly, just to remove the other items. We don't have the authority to do that. This is just because it is a nuisance property that we are able to do that under our code. So the property owners are nice, and they are responsive, which is good. And we will just keep plugging away at the rest of the issues.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions for Mrs. Brennan? Here and now we do have ordinance number 18-2022 for consideration, and oh man, I didn't ask who that should be. Just now. Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Brown, Mr. Austin, Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 18-2022 and read by title only.
Let me turn that on. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into a demolition assessment agreement with Mike Mitchell Gorsha and Barbara Sutherland for the demolition of the structure at 5301 South Main Street, Sylvania, Ohio. I move final passage for ordinance number 18-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 18-2022 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried. Thank you very much. And ordinance number 18-2022 is approved as an emergency measure. Next up on our agenda are the committee report for the Employee and Community Relations Committee meeting held this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Frye. Yes, the Employee Community Relations Committee met tonight, February 7, 2022 at 5:30, and we were together to discuss the Sage Art appointment interviews. Present at the meeting were committee members, myself, Mary Westfall, and other members, Marcus Hansen, Doug Hanum, Patrick Richardson. Also joining us, Brian McCann and Mark Frye. Leslie Brining was present, and Bill Sanford assisted us with getting our guests in and out. The candidates that interviewed for the positions included Dave Spies, Callie Zake, Sean Murphy, and Mark Schaefer. Each candidate had 15 minutes to present, and that was followed by questions from committee members and other council members who were present. All of the candidates presented very well and were very strong candidates. All were passionate about Sage Art, and all could be excellent candidates for the Sage Art position. It was a very tough decision to move forward. Following the interviews, there was lengthy discussion about the selection with each candidate to consider, and again, it was a very tough decision. We did want to try and make a decision, if at all possible, tonight so that the representative could be at the next Sage Art board meeting. So Mr. Hanum moved that legislation be prepared to appoint Sean Murphy to the Sage Art position for the City of Sylvania. Patrick Richardson seconded that motion, and the motion carried. And then Patrick Richardson moved to adjourn the meeting at 6:40, and Marcus Hansen seconded, and that motion passed.
Thank you, Mrs. Westphal. Any questions? Hearing none, we do have resolution number 5-2022 that was passed out a moment ago for the consideration of Mr. Murphy for the Sage Art Board appointments. Mrs. Westphal.
Mr. Fry, I'd like to just have one moment of explanation, if you would indulge me for a second. We did have our candidates here, and we knew we had a conflict because our next council meeting would traditionally fall on the holiday, the President's Day holiday, so we meet that Tuesday night. And the Sage Art Board meets that Tuesday morning. And we wanted to be sure this representative was there. So I did ask Mrs. Brining to prepare legislation for all four candidates so that we would be ready to move forward this evening. I would not want any of the council members to think that we had pre-planned this and that this legislation had been prepared in advance. Legislation had actually been prepared for all four candidates.
Thank you very much for pointing that out, well said.
So with that, I'd like to introduce resolution number 5-2022 by title only, appointing Sean Murphy to the Board of Trustees of Sylvania Area Joint Recreation District, Sage Art, for a term expiring December 31st, 2024. I move final passage of resolution number 5-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second. We have a motion and a second to pass resolution number 5-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. Motion carried, and resolution number 5-2022 is passed as an emergency measure. Next up, we have the potential for community board appointments. As all of you know, members of City Council are representing us in the broader community in various boards and appointments. And with that, I know that Mrs. Westphal has had conversations with some of you in that regard, and I'll let her explain where we stand in that regard.
Thank you, Mr. Fry. Yes, as you have so kindly expressed, we do appoint council members to most of the boards that we do funding to for the city, and that's really so that we can participate in their board meetings and understand the good work that they're doing. And we have an advocate at the table when the time comes for consideration for budget requests. And it also just helps us to be aware of what's happening in the community, which is critically important to us as city council members. So I did have the honor of speaking with each council member and asking for their level of interest in serving on the committees. And we did have agreement on all of those committee members, and I would like to make a motion that the following people be appointed to the boards as I share them with you. That Mark Fry continues to serve on the Downtown Sylvania Association Board. Doug Hanum serves on the Sylvania Community Services Board. Brian McCann to serve on the Sylvania Community Action Team. I know there's a new name for that. I'm sorry.
Sylvania Prevention Alliance.
Sylvania Prevention Alliance. Lindsay Stow will serve on the Sylvania Heritage Museum. And Marcus Hansen on the Sylvania Arts Commission. Patrick Richardson on Sister City. And that is a motion.
Second. Motion and a second to approve the council appointments for the various organizations supported by the city. Any further discussion? All those in favor of those appointments, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much. And we do have a couple of people in the audience. Ms. Larson, and I don't know that I've met the other person, although maybe I have, but since she's wearing a mask, I'm not sure. So I wanted to give them the opportunity, if they had something that they wanted to address briefly to council this evening, the opportunity to do so before we go into consideration for executive session. And could you provide your name and address for the record?
Yes, my name is Lindsay Samuelson, 5242 Eagle Ridge Lane. And I'm a resident, parent, business owner. I work in downtown Pennsylvania, Main Street. I have opposed the cell phone tower. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name, the proposition, the ordinance, if that needs to be mentioned right now.
We know which one you mean.
Okay. I have opposed the cell phone tower permit at every public meeting last year because it presents a serious public safety danger to the community given its location. The city council rejected the applicant's request for a permit. The city council rejected the applicant's request for a permit after a very thorough public review of many factors that included aesthetics, public safety, property devaluation, as well as the applicant's failure to meet their burden, demonstrating that this is the least intrusive site needed to secure a significant gap in coverage. The city council heard from many residents and interested parties, nearly all who strongly opposed siting this tower at Northview. Council members expressed their own considered views, and then they voted unanimously to deny the permit. The city solicitor was required to issue a written decision promptly explaining the reasons for the denial and citing substantial evidence supporting the decision. Rather than issuing a written decision, even belatedly, the city's outside counsel is doubling down on the city solicitor's posture, maintaining that the city is relying on the transcripts of the public hearings to constitute the statutorily required written decision. Despite the shakiness of that legal position, outside counsel still hasn't bothered to obtain these transcripts. And consequently, Verizon and Tarpon Towers have sued the city, seeking an order from the federal court forcing the permit for the cell tower. This is terribly unfortunate because the city has very strong grounds for its denial, supported by the evidence presented, all of which should have been set forth in the written decision within 30 days of the vote. Now, instead of operating from a position of great strength, the city finds itself trying to dig itself out of a big hole. The federal judge seems angry. He's already held several conferences with the parties about getting these transcripts, and the court's frustration with the city is obvious from reading his orders coming up from these conferences. The video of the hearing has been posted and has been available on the city's website for 4 to 10 months, depending on which council meeting we're talking about. Last year, I, along with several other residents, filed a motion to intervene because we believe the city is not adequately representing the interests of its residents and its city council members. We were denied and left with a queasy feeling that the city's council is not providing the vigorous defense of the litigation which the city council and the city's residents deserve. So I really just want to understand what is happening here. It doesn't make sense to me. And how is this not considered legal malpractice? Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Ms. Larson.
I think that was a question that we were asking, and we would like an answer. I'm Nancy Larson. I live at 4015 Newcastle. I don't live right by Northview, but my concern is for the community as a whole. I got involved because I thought it would be an eyesore and not something that I wanted to be seeing in my community. And I think City Council did the right thing in unanimously denying the permit, the zoning permit for it to be built. My gripe is not with all of you, because as far as I'm concerned, you did what we, as the citizens, asked you to do. My issue and my anger is with the city that is not following this up with what needed to be done. And it's not acceptable for us not to get an answer as to why you did not get that summary written.
Well, Nancy, I responded to your email today. And first of all, I'm not going to talk at all about the discussions we've had with legal counsel, but I believe that your premise is not accurate. So, you know,
premise being that the summary has not been done?
I'm just going to leave it at, I don't believe your premise is accurate. And, you know, you were denied, apparently, I didn't know you were denied intervention. I don't know who your legal counsel was on that either. As a lawyer, I could probably second guess that representation as well. I'm not going to do that. And I don't really appreciate having our legal counsel second guess on a basis that I don't think is correct.
It's a fact.
No, facts are funny things, you know. I've been practicing law for 42 years. And your assumption of facts may not be the facts. And facts are developed. That's why we have litigation. We have good counsel. We have an excellent law director. And I hear what you're saying. It has not been ignored. We've responded to your comments, and that's all the more I have to say about that.
I would like to add that I don't believe that our law director or our counsel is being derelict. I'll leave it at that.
I appreciate that, but we see what has not been done. We've been watching this from the beginning. We didn't fall off the face of the earth once the decision was made. This has been being tracked. We've seen what Verizon, when the lawsuit was filed, we understand what is required in order to be able to.
I disagree with that.
You know, I do think Nancy and Lindsay have both done a very nice job of presenting your facts as you know them. And I do think that we can have a lot of discussion right now, but because it's a legal issue, there's not much we can say specific to your questions. I heard your questions. I do think that, as Mr. Hainem has indicated, there are facts, and then there are facts. So we can't assume that you have every fact, and we can't assume that we have every fact, and that's why it's in litigation. We're grateful that you're here sharing your perspective. We do have confidence in our law director, and we want, as you know, the same thing that you want, and our goal is to get there.
Thank you very much, Ms. Larson. We do have on our agenda item number 16.
Mr. Fry.
Yes.
Could I just make one comment quickly?
Absolutely.
I would like to just take a quick moment to thank Mr. Aller and his team for their work during the last snowstorm. We haven't seen that much snow for a while, so we haven't had to call on his exceptional team to keep our roads in good condition. But I want to thank you. I think all went well. For the first time ever in my history here, all the cars were off of my street, and so we actually got it plowed for real this time. Usually we get plowed in because we've got cars on either side of our driveway, but thank you very much. I think your team did a great job.
And we all survived Snowmageddon 2020.
Yes.
Thank you, Mrs. Westphal, for those comments, and I concur. You know, a lot of hard work done by people. By the way, I love the video, too.
Yeah, it was pretty neat, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Put together. I don't know if any of you had a chance to watch the video discussion. I'm sure you probably did, but I thought that was pretty interesting. With that, we do have the possibility of an executive session, and one moment. We have the potential consideration of entering into executive session for the consideration of the discussion of sale of real estate and possible litigation. And do I have a motion to consider entering into executive session?
I'd like to expand that to also discuss pending litigation.
Pending litigation. Thank you very much, Mr. Hanson. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Frye?
Yes.
Mr. Hanson?
Yes.
Mr. Hanum?
Yes.
Mr. McCann?
Yes.
Mr. Richardson?
Yes.
Ms. Stowe?
Yes.
Mrs. Westfall?
Yes.
We are entered into executive session. Thank you very much. Great. So we are still in executive session, but we're ready to consider exit. Do I have a motion to exit executive session?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to exit executive session. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Hanson?
Yes.
Mr. Hanum?
Yes.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Yes.
Ms. Stowe?
Yes.
Mrs. Westfall?
Yes.
Mr. Frye?
Yes. So we've exited executive session. The only things discussed in executive session were the potential sale of property and the potential for pending and existing litigation. And no decisions were made in executive session. However, as part of the executive session, we do have two ordinances for consideration now that executive session is over. With that, we have ordinance number 19, 2022 for consideration. Ms. Stowe.
Thank you, Mr. Acting Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 19-2022 and read by title only, approving the offer to purchase of RD Investment Holdings LLC to purchase the city's real estate located at 6501, 6503, and 6511 Monroe Street, Sylvania, Ohio, at a sale price of $350,000. Authorizing the mayor and the director of finance to accept said offer to purchase on behalf of the city of Sylvania, determining said real estate to be no longer needed for municipal purposes. I move final passage of ordinance number 19-2022 as an emergency resolution.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 19-2022 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried, and ordinance number 19-2022 is adopted as an emergency measure. Thank you very much. We also have ordinance number 20-2022. Ms. Stowe.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 20-2022 and read by title only. Approving the offer to purchase of RD Investment Holdings LLC to purchase a portion of the city's real estate located at 6517 Monroe Street, Sylvania, Ohio, at a sales price of $47,500, authorizing the mayor and the director of finance to accept said offer to purchase on behalf of the city of Sylvania, determining said real estate to be no longer needed for municipal purposes. I move final passage of ordinance number 20-2022 and as an emergency measure.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 20-2022 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried. Thank you very much. And ordinance number 20-2022 is approved as an emergency measure. I don't think if there's anything else to come before council this evening. I would point out that we do have one letter here that Mr. Sanford was going to send out, and I'd give him the opportunity to briefly talk about the possibility of the TIF that we've chatted about a few times.
Thank you, Mr. Frye. I just wanted to have you, if you could, take a look at this. Wanted to be aware of what we're going to send out. If it's not gone in the mail yet, we're going to send it out this week. This is the follow-up that we're going to have that meeting on March the 7th prior to a council meeting. And we'll start publicizing this so we get people to the meeting to answer their questions. Mr. Grisdale and one of his associates will be at that meeting to explain the TIF and answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Sam?
Have you had anybody ask any questions about this?
No,
nobody knows about it.
Yeah, it's now, I wanted you to see it first, Now the mailings will go out, the publication will be a story in the Advantage. We'll get all the publicity out on it.
And DSA tomorrow, correct?
And we're handing it out to the DSA tomorrow. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. The quarterly reports for the fourth quarter of 2021 were in your packet, as well as the bank statement reconciliation statement. Is there anything to come before council before we consider adjourned?
I just want to thank you, Mr. Fry, for stepping up into the role of acting mayor. You did a great job.
Thank you very much. I'll listen to my record, and it may not be quite as smooth as I hoped it would be. So thank you very much. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And we are adjourned. And the next council meeting will be Tuesday, February the 22nd, 2 weeks, 15 days from today. Thank you very much.